Welcome to Everybody Can, a conversation about volunteers and volunteer opportunities in Jefferson and Clallam counties. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen, career counselor and committed community volunteer. Our show is inspired by the words and spirit of Dr. Martin Luther King, "Everybody can be great because everybody can serve." We bring you information about the people who volunteer, serve on boards, donate, and sometimes just show up to help build what King called a beloved community. And indeed, this region reflects a beloved community in the number of folks engaged in community serving. And today, we have with us Angela Hewitson, the Community Engagement Coordinator from the Northwest Maritime Center. Welcome, Angela.
Hello, thank you.
And she brought with her one of her volunteers, the food court captain of the Wooden Boat Festival, Jerry Kress.
Good, thank you.
Thank you for coming in, both of you. So we're going to talk a little bit about the Wooden Boat Festival and what it takes to run that show. But I am really thrilled that we have Jerry here today because he represents kind of the behind-the-scenes component. So, Angela, sometimes we assume everybody knows what the Wooden Boat Festival is, but could you help us start out with a little bit of a higher look at the history of this Wooden Boat Festival and what it's about?
So this year is going to be our 43rd annual year. We have about full. First off, we fill the entire campus of what is the Northwest Maritime Center. Goes all the way, stretches behind the Seamarine Boatyard over to the RV park around Point Hudson out to the point where Docks Marina is. And the marina fills up with 300 or so wooden boats that flood out into the bay. Now, there's, of course, the wooden boat aspect of everything from you learn wood in itself. All about boats, all about boat building. But then, of course, we had this big festival culture of music and food and dancing. And it draws the entire community and beyond. I'd say a good majority of East Coasters come out here. And, of course,
really?
Tasmania is the largest wooden boat festival in the world, and we're the second largest, drawing up to about 40,000 people over the course of 3 days.
It's astounding. This is what we call festival season, and you're kind of the keynote festival of all here in Port Townsend. You say about 40,000 arrive.
Yeah, at its peak year, about 40.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And now this year, what week is it going to be?
This will be September 6th through the 8th.
Do they have themes, or is there anything that we focus on each year with the...
So we're really fortunate this year. We have a gentleman named Douglas Brooks, who is a Japanese wooden boat builder. He's an American. However, he spent the last few decades studying under about 7 or 8 different master boat builders in Japan. What's really interesting about that method is that there's actually no speaking involved when they're building boats. And so he is going to be hosting a workshop inside of the Maritime Center in August, and he's going to be demonstrating that practice underneath his instruction.
So it's a workshop that is taught silently.
Correct.
In the practice of the Japanese culture.
Yes. And so because of that and his efforts, it's kind of inspired this Japanese theme. It won't be overarching throughout the festival, but it will be filling up our boat shop. And we will be doing a boat launch of that boat.
That's exciting.
And there'll be Shinto drumming in the big tent, and there'll be this big ceremony happening out there on the beach. It's really quite exciting.
It's quite a global festival.
Correct, yeah.
So, Jerry, you, as the food court captain, is that the first role you started in at the Wooden Boat Festival? How did you get involved with this volunteering at this festival?
Actually, I go back a bit. I think my first festival was in, I forget now. I think it was in the early 90s, actually.
Okay.
So I've been watching it for almost 30 years.
Wow.
But I don't think I really volunteered until Beth O'Neill, who's the captain, she and her husband, Andy Nielsen, she is the captain of Bar Harbor, which is the big tent where the beer is sold and wine and then dancing and all sorts of things.
This is kind of where you report to.
That's where initially I went there because those guys were trying to get us off of using one-time plastic cups to drink beer and wine with and to use glass.
Mm-hmm.
And people thought that that wouldn't really work. But so she got me doing that because she was tired of me complaining about finding plastic in the water all the time, because I actually swim about 3 times a week off out in Fort Worden, and I'd see plastic bottle caps and stuff like that in the water. And so she was tired of listening to me. So she said, why don't you come and help us to reduce that? I said, yeah, that'd be good. So I did that at the Bar Harbor. And then slowly but surely we...
And the Bar Harbor is the smaller venue at the end of the point? Or is it the big...
No, the Bar Harbor is the big tent.
The big tent.
Where most of the nighttime activity happens. In fact, it opens up for free, I think, after 8 o'clock or something, and mm-hmm. people come in and dance and stuff.
You propose to get rid of plastic, and we're talking about hundreds of dancers and revelry each night. You're talking about replacing.
There's a lot of cups, and so people thought that they would break and there'd be all sorts of problems, but there really wasn't actually. But you have to wash the stuff, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. so we figured that out. And then we decided that we would get rid of the forks and straws and
the cutlery. Also,
the cutlery over at the food court, which is adjacent, which is where independent vendors come. Maybe as many as 10 or 12 separate vendors come, and we've kind of now pretty much got those people not giving out plastic, but using our silverware. And of course, we wash that over there as well. And
the nice
thing that's not apparent is that over there, that becomes a really social area. That's open air. That's no cover there. But people are eating and drinking and talking. And so it becomes a place where you talk about the town and you talk about, you know, because a lot of people are coming in, mm-hmm. but there's also a lot of locals and, you know, commissioners and mayors and janitors and carpenters and everybody are over there and we're all talking. And so we talk about things that are on our mind.
Speaking of talking, I'm wondering how difficult was it? Was it part of an educational effort to get the vendors? It's one thing to have the organization, the Northwest Maritime Center, say, we want to prioritize sustainability, but you had food vendors that you had to encourage. We're losing the plastic. I mean, was that hard to bridge that barrier with going into cutlery that's washable?
Yeah, I think it was kind of a no-brainer, actually, because people prefer to eat off of silverware. Mm-hmm. Hardly anybody likes to eat off of plastic. And the vendors realized that they didn't have to buy all these boxes of plastic, so that made it a lot easier for them. And there's just little glitches. Some people, you know, want to have a brand new clean thing that they use one time. Mm. But for the most part, people were really quite encouraging. The public was really encouraging. And the vendors, I think, learned really quickly that it was cheaper for them and easier for them not to be dealing in that at all. Let somebody else take care of it, i.e. the festival. Mm-hmm. So it seemed like it was real seamless, actually, for the most part.
It's remarkable to think about this endeavor. And I think, you know, it's a world-class festival. It's a world caliber. I would like to know, I'm curious if this is, do you know anything about other festivals that have attempted this kind of level of sustainability for, you know, reusing materials?
I'm not confident since I've come on board, but I would say, Beth started this 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Seems about right. And since there's a number of festivals that have mirrored at least the glass component, and there's probably festivals that actually a smaller scale that are doing a much better job than we do. But I know that in Europe, there's a greener festival standard that they're actually producing curriculums for people who run festivals to start adopting their sustainability policies. So we're trying to pivot that direction and as go as far as compost at our festival.
Wow.
But it requires so much infrastructure and volunteers like Jerry, people who are really invested in this initiative in order to pull it off.
Indeed. Well, if you're just joining us, this is KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, Washington, and I'm Missy Nielsen, host of Everybody Can. Today, I'm speaking with Jerry and Angela from the Northwest Maritime Center, and we're talking about sustainability practices for large festivals. Jerry, I'm curious, so you're the captain of this food court, and you know, as you recruit volunteers, I'm thinking, oh, washing dishes? Mm-hmm. I think you probably are pretty persuasive to inspire folks to do this, because it takes how many people to wash and how many glasses do you go through and how do you hook someone into doing this kind of thankless job?
Boy, I don't know. It's an easy sell. I have to say it's mostly women, actually, that volunteer for the most part. We have a few stalwart guys. You know, women step up as they always do and do that kind of non...
The flashy job.
Yeah. It's not flashy, but if everybody kicks in, you know, it's pretty easy to do. And again, we just do the silverware on our side. Mm-hmm. Then they have a separate
thing
over
for the
glasses.
So you wouldn't know. I'm just curious how many glasses get washed.
I will say, though, Jerry brings a very unique ability to really engage the public and stop to think about what they're doing in terms of having silverware, putting it into the dirty dish pile, and what that means, right, as opposed to just having a single-use plastic, throwing it away. And I think Jerry could probably speak to that a little bit, but there's a lot of time and energy that goes into educating the public, I think.
I would think so. And then, you know, sharing your own personal story, as you did earlier about swimming at Fort Worden and saying, hey, Beth, this is something we need to address. Do you kind of anecdotally share why we're doing what we're doing as you recruit and work with folks volunteering? Do they know the bigger picture of the
reusable? I would definitely say so. I mean, most people who come and volunteer for that aspect, because it's not exactly flashy, are very aware that, you know, if we don't use this plastic, then it doesn't have to, like, maybe get recycled. And even in the last couple of years now, there's been a real question of what are we doing with these plastic things that, you know, because China's not accepting it, or Bangladesh, whomever. So it's like, if you don't use it, then you don't have to worry about if it's being recycled or when it's going to be recycled. I also wanted to just step back a couple questions there and say that I've been going to the Vancouver Folk Festival in mid-July for years. They're a huge festival. They have almost 2,000 volunteers. And that's where I got my inspiration, actually, because they went off of plastic probably 15 or 20 years ago. The Canadians are so good at that kind of volunteering. And they just completely eliminated all this plastic on a festival that, I don't know, maybe as much as 3 times bigger than ours. They may have as much as 90,000 people that come through in 4 days. So that's where I saw such a large festival switch over, and it's like, well,
it's doable. It's doable.
We can do that.
So, Angela, do we see the Northwest Maritime Center trying to bring the sustainability to other events and activities they've got?
Well, because, you know, we have the races are expanding and our organization has been expanding in terms of we've acquired a sailing magazine in Seattle. Now we have a nonprofit in Bainbridge, Sailor Sea Expeditions, which also does events across the region. And I think that we're trying to build out our ability to bring this kind of initiative across the organization wide. We have about 8 or 9 brands. And, you know, for me, engaging the community, I think it's really important that that's done at a large, holistic scale. I don't think, you know, we can't just say have no plastic at Wooden Boat Festival and then pass out plastic water bottles at our school programs, right?
Right.
So I think it would really behoove us to try and activate really stewards or people passionate about this subject in order to make our organization accountable at a large scale. So
if folks are inspired by this, you know, is there an opportunity? Do I hear some growth in this area for volunteers to tap into
Absolutely.
This role?
Yeah, I would say if I were to make a call to action, that I would encourage people to get in touch with me to see who's even passionate about this. Is this possible? And then kind of mobilize the infrastructure from there and build out a task force for this.
And how would they reach you?
They can email me. They can call me.
Would you mind sharing that email with our listeners?
Sure. Yeah. It's very quite simple. volunteer@nwmaritime.org. And this is definitely festival is kind of our bread and butter right now. And we're full tilt, in that direction at the moment. But of course, you know,
after the festival season we might be hearing more about task force development on sustainability. But as far as the Wooden Boat Festival goes, you've got some volunteer opportunities coming into the pipeline.
Absolutely.
How do folks register to volunteer?
I don't want people to get dismayed. I will say that there's over 70 different areas of volunteerism that people can engage with very varied amounts of responsibilities or skill sets. They can go onto our website at woodenboat.org/volunteer. There will be a whole list of jobs and descriptions, and then shift signups and links where they can go ahead, fill out an application if they're new, or just go ahead and sign off for a release waiver and just fill out your shifts. That can be done there. They can come in. They can call me. All okay. can be methods to
and,
be doing that.
And your website is going to be almost live for this.
This is so for, it'll be July 17th.
Okay.
At noon o'clock.
Noon
people
o'clock.
Are knocking the door down right now, but... Oh.
This is a nice problem to have.
I mean, it takes, I say that there's 600 volunteers that have engaged with us in order to pull off the scope of Wooden Boat Festival, but it actually takes that many people. And I think there's an assumption that Wooden Boat gets covered, right, because it's so big, but it really does. I mean, it is a true reflection of the spirit of the community, in my opinion, and it's because of its people.
Absolutely.
It definitely takes their involvement. If it's even one shift, it makes all the difference.
I second that. It is a very, very important piece of our community, and 600 to 700 people. I bet you could make room for another 100 if you had them. Yeah. Jerry, in our final moments, anything you can say to inspire folks to
I was just
roll their
say,
sleeves up?
Angela probably forgets it, but the perks of doing this, I think, what, if you have three
right.
sessions, which is 3 hours a piece or 4 hours a piece, then you get a shirt, usually quite a nice shirt. Mm-hmm. And then we have a banquet immediately following the festival closure at about 6 o'clock on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And
we have a volunteer lounge as well, where, you know, you're able to often indulge in quite amount of wonderful treats and a nice hangout spot for you to hang out with other volunteers.
Unlimited amount of sunshine coffee, which I drink an awful lot of, who's one of our sponsors.
Well, so there are a number of perks. I mean, volunteer community in itself is a subsect of the entire festival. So there's a lot of heart and soul.
Not to mention meeting and talking with 600 people.
No kidding.
Many of whom you may not have met before.
I want to thank you both for coming in today, Angela and Jerry. I really appreciate you taking some time and helping our listeners hear a little bit more about what's happening at the Northwest Maritime Center and the Wooden Boat Festival.
Thank you, Missy.
Great, Missy. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Everybody Can is a production of KPTZ 91.9. I'm your host, Missy Nielsen. Our program today is in the expert hands of our sound engineer, Jared Dufresne. I would like to thank our programming manager, Larry Stein, and all of the incredible volunteers that work hard to bring eclectic music, local news, and conversations to us here on the North Olympic Peninsula. You can also join us on the web at kptz.org. Now go out, get involved, and make it a great day.